This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Ringgit and Sense on BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, I'm Roshan Kanesan, and you're now listening to Ringgit and Sense, the show that's all about personal finance. Today on Ringgit and Sense, we'll be taking a look at the loan moratoriums with Nirmala Subramaniam of AKPK. And this conversation was actually a conversation I had with her last week on BFM's first ever webinar. And we started out the conversation with, what is the loan moratorium?
Right. The loan moratorium is actually a deferment, or I would put in a simple word, a postponement of payment. So from April to September, all the financial institutions are actually providing a moratorium, or what we would say a deferment in the payment, the monthly installments, basically for consumer loans like housing loan, hire purchase, and we have credit card. Credit cards are not automatic, but they could apply for that. Personal loans, yeah. So these are the loans that the banks are offering automatic moratorium period, a deferment for the next 6 months, starting actually yesterday. For all the payments. So why are they doing this is actually to help people who have financial problems, who are, you know, not able to pay up the current debts at the moment, maybe due to a loss of income or reduction of income. Yeah. So basically, it's actually offered to help people to have that extra cash during this time. Yeah. So they could buy their needs. Yeah. And this moratorium is given to all loans that are not in delinquent above than 90 days, actually. So if this loan is in default for more than 4 months, as of 1st of April, then they would not qualify for this moratorium. So they would have to go and negotiate with the financier to see what can be done. Yeah. So that's this whole moratorium about.
And based on what you're seeing, what do you think are the biggest misconceptions about the loan moratorium?
I would say that many people think it's a holiday period. It's a holiday period that I don't have to pay anything extra. Well, to look at it deeper, it is not a holiday period. It's definitely this amount is either you're going to pay it later, or for certain types of loan, there is an additional interest or profit running because it's still being accrued. Yeah. So if I were to look, take an example, we have two main loans that we're looking here is hire purchase and housing loan, yeah, which most Malaysians have at least one. So if I say hire purchase is to buy a car, or personal loan, because these two loans are calculated on a flat, meaning to say upfront they have already added up all the profit or interest, and then they divide among the months. So if you were to see this loan, I have an example here. Yeah, if you were to see on higher purchase, for example, we were to take in this loan, which the amount loan amount was 90,000, and he has paid maybe for about 3 years now, so that's the balance about 81,600, which he has got to pay for the next 6 years. Yeah, he has taken this loan for 9 years. So if you look at his monthly installment, it's supposedly 1133 before deferment, and after deferment, it's also 1133. So there's no increase in this. And if you look at the loan balance, it's still 81,000. There's no difference in this too. Except that now he has got another 6 years plus 6 months to pay, an additional 6 months to pay. So that's how higher purchase works like. And the the calculation will go on for personal loan, as in because personal loan also is calculated on a flat rate basis. So what the borrower has to look now is to see what kind of rates are the loans calculated, whether it's on a reducing balance or whether it's a flat rate. So if it's a reducing balance fixed rate, then there will be a change, because if we look at housing loan, most banks offering the interest not compounded now. Yeah. So if we look at it's not compounded, we have a loan amount of 300,000. Let's say the original tenure was 5 years, and it's about 4.6. This is where also many people thought holiday period when banks announced it was interest not compounded. They thought interest is not that, because housing loan is calculated on a reducing balance where every month, if it's a conventional loan, every month the interest will be calculated on the balance, whatever balance that's there. So it's added up. So now they're not going to calculate balance, but they're still going to calculate on the principal. The interest will still be calculated on the principal. So that's what it meant by interest not compounded. So if this is, I'm taking an example, because what I understand from the financial institution, the banks, they have mentioned that there is an option whether they want to extend the tenure or they don't want to extend the tenure, they want to remain. So I've taken an assumption of there's no extension of tenure. So before deferment, his monthly installment was about 1,438. And after deferment, because he doesn't want to extend the period, he wants to finish within 35 years. So there is an increase about 45 ringgit there, which comes up to 1,483. And there is an increase in the outstanding principal as well, because interest is still ongoing. So hence why we say that it's not a holiday period. There are charges that's ongoing for certain types of loan. For certain types of loan, it's just that you would pay for an additional tenure. So it's definitely, we can't conclude this as a holiday period.
Yeah, I just want to highlight the difference there between compounding and accrued interest, right? So there's one part where the next 6 months, you will still be charged interest. It's just that, as your examples showed, it will be added to your balance later on. Now, a lot of banks, I think all the 8 local Malaysian banks, are not going to be compounding on that interest. I think that was a big concern initially. So, Nirmal, do you have any thoughts on variables that we need to think about? Or what are reasons that we take on the loan moratorium? Because there is a difference there. We could end up paying more in the long run. How do we make that decision?
Right. First and foremost, you have to look on your income at the moment. Some of them are having no income at all. Yeah. Some are being maybe at a reduction in their income. So for this kind of people, the extra is very much needed to at least pay or buy shield. So definitely you have to look at this. If you're in a strong company, you foresee there will not be an income interruption, then maybe this may not be necessary for you. So, but it's more towards those who are actually having cash problem, yeah. But they must be very careful that this amount is used to pay essentials, because there is an additional amount that you're going to pay later. So why create a problem later? So it must be used for essential. And also, for those people who do not have any kind of emergency saving, it's very important that we have emergency savings, because this will help us sustain, because we do not know how long the situation may prolong or what would the outcome be when we return back to work. So it's good to have, at least normally any financial advisor would say, it's good to have a 3 to 6 months emergency fund, emergency saving, means 3 to 6 months of your monthly expenses. So let's say the monthly expenses for essentials is about 2,000, so you at least have to have about 6,000 there. So maybe now is a good time to take this extra cash and build up your emergency savings, because we do not know, it may reoccur, so we are better prepared. Or for some, it could also be that they have higher other loans with higher interest rates, like credit cards or something. So probably they could actually use this additional amount, especially from the higher purchase or the one that will not accrue additional amount. They could actually use up this payment, this cash, this extra installment payment to pay up that to reduce the interest. So there are some savings. Some are also advising towards, probably I could take up the amount and invest, because obviously I'll be getting higher dividend. But you have to actually understand on investments now, as things are a bit unstable. So be very careful of where you're actually investing the amount. Look for long-term ones, more stable ones, not on high-risk investments. So people can use, mainly is because of their cash flow. They need that cash flow to buy essentials. So that's the key point. Nothing extra else that's actually really matters now.
I think that's the common consensus we're seeing, that this facility has been provided for those who really are in dire need of cash over the next few months, especially if you don't have an emergency buffer fund, if you don't already have cash on hand, then the additional cost of in the future might be worth taking on that money, whether it's in the form of the loan moratorium or the other stimulus package items that we've seen. Anirmal, we've actually got a few questions that have come in. This is from a little bit earlier, but let's just try and address it again. For the case of housing loans, if the banks have announced that no compounding interest will be charged, does this mean that there will be no additional amount to be paid by the borrower? Is it similar to hire purchase? So I think this is something we addressed a little earlier.
Yeah, I guess he probably missed out, but there is a difference on housing loan. Definitely there is a difference on housing, because compounding is different. Compounding means they are not calculating interest on balance now, but they're still calculating interest on principal. So there is still interest ongoing. So, and there will be, this is what, I will share the slide again. This is what Bank Negara has actually shared in their guideline, which we could actually refer for housing loan. So this is with an assumption of extension of tenure. So there is an additional principal amount that, because interest is still calculated on the principal. So it's different from higher purchase and personal loan, which are calculated on a flat rate. For that, definitely there's no additional amount. But my advice is best you check up with your banks, your financier, because every financier, this is the guideline by Bank Negara, but every financier has their way of how they're going to mitigate the, or how they're going to implement it. So it's best if you go back every, if I'm not mistaken, I've checked through, almost all banks have came out with their FAQs as well, if you go to their website. So you can look at how every bank is going to implement this guideline. So that will give you a clearer picture. And most banks of call centers are still open. And probably you could recheck with your own loan, because it may differ slightly from the guideline.
So another question on the example that you provided, Imala. So for the example of the 300,000 ringgit, 4.6%, 35-year loan that we saw just now, the difference of 6,453, the question here is that amount, the 6 months interest that we missed out? Where does that number come from, the 6,000?
Yeah, it comes out from the 6 months interest that you miss out throughout the tenure, which has been calculated on the principal. So, yeah, the bigger, the higher the amount is, it could be a little bit more. It depends all on the amount that the loan is, because it's calculated on the principal.
Right. And the example was given for no extension. This is another question sent in for no extension of tenure for the housing loan. Will extending the tenure be more costly? Do you have anything on that?
Yeah, because automatically it will be calculated on ongoing. So you have a longer tenure to pay. So obviously there will be slight difference. There will be a slight difference. So you can check with your banks. They have your balance. They will have the calculated there, because housing loan is a bit technical. Mm-hmm. To show up the calculation, we also use the Excel sheets. And the thing is, the longer the period you take to pay up the loan, definitely there will be higher chance. There will be a higher chances of higher payment, higher amount, because it will still be ongoing, the calculation, until you complete, until you settle. So you have taken extra 6 months, you'll definitely be paying more, but probably a very minimal difference.
My conversation with Nirmala continues in just a little bit after a few messages. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Ringgit and Cents on BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, welcome back to Ringgit and Cents, the show that's all about personal finance. Now, on today's episode of Ringgit and Cents, we're taking a look at loan moratoriums, a conversation I had with Nirmala Subramaniam of AKPK at last week's BFM webinar. Now, we're kicking off the second part of this conversation with a listener question about whether it's a good idea to utilize funds from the loan moratorium and put it in a safe investment like fixed deposits.
Yeah, that would be ideal at the moment. If you ask me, for your emergency, put it in your FD, fixed deposit, which could give you a little bit better rate and safer. And if there is really a need, it's fast enough to withdraw. So the key thing is have the emergency funds first. and not go for higher risk investments. Because at the moment, because we are all at home, people are very free the scammers are also very free, actually. Mm-hmm. So there has been an increase of cases in scams. And the thing is, especially on purchasing essentials, also there's a scam. So we want public to be very, very careful of where they are spending or where they are. They think of investing their money. So it's very important actually now. So the best is, my advice is use this time to invest in education. Look up into websites from AKPK. We have our learning ongoing. We have Security Commission still coming up with their messages. Under the Financial Education Network, where we are all a member as well. So there are constant messages and information, even from Bank Negara on scams. So do take up this time and build up your finances back. I mean, it's a very good time to reflect on yourself actually now, to see where we are lacking, to maybe start a habit of budgeting, writing down expenses.
We've got a question from Sabrina. Is it possible to pay 3 months and then not pay 3 months? Is that, or is it, do I have to opt in or opt out for the entire 6 months?
What I understand from some of the bank's FAQ, you can actually contact them and tell them that. Yes. Some have that you can contact them in between. In fact, for those who need this moratorium longer than 6 months, they could still go and negotiate with the financiers as well. So this has been given by most of the banks still. And for those who have financial problems, can still come to AKPK. And for your information, all the people under the debt management program under AKPK who has already been restructured, we are also offering the moratorium automatic started 1st April. So all accounts under the program are also given the moratorium as well. So, but it still goes back. If you can afford, you don't see any issue, just continue paying. Because if not, you will still end up paying longer and for certain loans, a little bit higher.
It's essentially not free money. It's there is a cost to it, and you only get to it if you really don't have any other form of cash flow and in order to pay your essentials. So it really also comes down, it seems, to your individual bank, getting in touch with your banker and working out the details, looking at the specific FAQs. Is there a way to, we've got a question from CS, for people who would like to opt out, is there an easier way to do it instead of calling or emailing the banks that are already busy?
There are some banks are offering it to do it online, like Maybank has offered to do it online, which you do it through your Maybank to you. So this is the bank that I saw, but I'm pretty sure there are many others who are coming with an easier method, especially if you are on online banking. So do check up on their websites. I am sure most banks are actually going towards the online banking. So they're offering you, like there's this check button that you can say, okay, I'm opting out from that. Yeah, because we do understand calling now is probably like everybody is calling, everybody is checking. So check in the website. Some banks are going on online. This is true.
We've got another question specifically about resources. Does AKPK have any online courses that we can take during this time? I think everyone may be using that free time to learn more about personal finance, as you alluded to a little earlier.
Oh yes, sure. What you can do is you can go to our portal, which is power.akpk.org.my, power, power.akpk.org.my. There are a course, you can actually join the course and in fact stand a chance to win some money because it's do it together. It's a course for pre-marriage, but it's anybody can do that. Yeah, no problem. And there's this slogan competition that we have at the end where you could submit your slogan. And the first prize is actually 5,000 ringgit. So, you know, you could probably earn some money too. So this one of the course. The other course we have is Rumahku. This is for people who want to buy a house. But both these courses have the element of cash flow management. So you could actually roughly have a look and see. And we are coming up with other webinars video that we will be putting up in our portal as well. So you first thing, try these courses at our website, our portal, power.akpk.org.my. And if you have companies who want to run training courses, you could get in touch with us. Our website is www.akpk.org.my, or probably my email, nirmala@akpk.org.my. You could actually write in and we could see what we can do for your companies.
Nirmala, will this will taking the moratorium impact my credit score by any chance?
No. According to Bank Negara's guideline, there will not be any record shown in Secris, actually. So you will not show that this person is in default. So, and it's just like most banks will be just holding the account at that moment. So it will not affect your credit score. No late charges, no penalties towards that. In fact, what I understand is, let's say for credit cards, I think we had that question too, right? Credit cards is a bit different, that they're not giving the automatic moratorium, but people could opt to apply for, in terms of converting it to a term loan, where you get a 13% per annum rate. That's the guideline given by Bank Negara, but please do check with your banks as well. So for loans like that, in case if you take up the term loan conversion and then you want to make early payment, you want to make early settlement, you can do so. And by the guideline, it says there should not be any penalty charge or early settlement as well. So it could be an option for those who have high balance in their credit card and wish to stop using and look just focusing on settling back this loan. Then probably the converting it to term loan is a good idea at the moment. Pay up the amount. And if you have extra cash later, make the full settlement and at least you have cleared one debt out of your list at the moment.
Because that's another strategy, right? Essentially, paying off the higher, the more expensive debts first. Yeah. If you can't afford to pay off everything. So have that list of the more expensive ones getting off your balance sheet.
Correct. It's good to actually write down all your debts now, where you have debts, what's the amount, what's the interest rate, and then see if I were to settle this at the end, how much can I save? Yeah. But the discipline is required here, because I understand even by converting the amount to term loan, you can still use the balance amount from the limit as a normal credit card.
Mm-hmm.
So you may start to use, you know, during this time, because we are saying it's good to go cashless at the moment rather than using cash due to the pandemic. So maybe using a debit card is better at the moment rather than a credit card. And just be wary that we don't want to add up, because we have converted one to a term loan and then you keep adding up. So it becomes like a never-ending story then.
Right. So that's another thing to pay attention to. Nirmala, we have a question from Aaron Lee. It's a bit of a long question, so just let's see whether we can get through this. I'm currently paying interest for an under-construction property. I've asked my bank about it, and they've mentioned that they advise that the deferment monthly progressive interest or profit accumulated to be settled before the loan or financing is fully released. Otherwise, payments meant for monthly installment once the loan is fully released will go towards settling the outstanding progressive interest, resulting in lower payment towards reducing our principal balance. So in the long term, he's wondering whether it's better to just continue paying as usual instead of going for the moratorium, because as of right now, he has no issues continuing payments. But his fear is that if the economy goes downhill and he didn't opt for the loan, that he didn't take advantage of that now. It's a bit of a long question, but do you have any insights there?
Yeah, I mean, on progressive interest, the ones in construction, yes, it's still ongoing, but they've given a moratorium and they did say that you have to settle it before the full loan disbursement, I mean, before the loan takes effect, and if not, your installment do go up. So if you can afford it, like back to get half your checklist, I can afford it now. If I have my emergency savings, at least 1,000 or 2,000. And if I have this amount, so I have this checklist. And I do not I don't think so. I'm not sure if I can afford the higher installment. So might as well repay it now. So always ask back yourself. If you think that it's okay for you to pay that amount now, then best you go on with it. So that you would, because we can't foresee what future sees. And if you're keeping all the higher amount to be paid later, and what if you still, you know, for a salary earner, like a wage, monthly wage earner, the chances of your salary is going to be the same. So with that, still the same amount, how am I going to pay that additional installments later? So that's a factor that I have to also see and consider at the moment. But it's still back to the basics. If you really don't have the cash now to get your essentials, then please go along with the moratorium. So that's the underlining factor, actually.
Nirmala, is there a deadline to decide whether to opt out of the loan deferment? This is from R&D Chan.
From the banks, I don't see. They said that you can still continue to talk to them. In fact, some says even after 3 months, you have taken the moratorium and then you want to opt out, you can still do so. So this is what I understand from their FAQs. So basis, you check back with them. Look at their FAQs. Most have stated, like most of the banks have stated, you could opt out after a certain period of time. You could do that. So maybe you want to save for a few months and then start repaying back. You could do that. But please do check with your banks.
And just to clarify, you are automatically opted in for this, right? You have to get into the, you have to tell, then get in touch with the bank to opt out.
Yes, automatically we are all in it. To opt out, we have to get in touch with the bank. So in terms of AKPK account, if you decide to opt out and continue, you don't have to contact, you can just continue making your payment. So we'll consider that as the person is in.
Yes, and just a clarity on who this is applicable to. We have a question from Mary. Is the moratorium for housing loans applicable to everyone, even those in arrears? I think there's a 90-day limit.
90
right?
days, yes. For all loans, we cannot be more than 4 months in default as of 1st April. So that one, they have taken the cutoff point as of 1st April. So if you are on the borderline, please check with your bank and talk to them. For credit cards, according to the guidelines, if they are 3 months and above in arrears, automatically their account will be converted to a term loan under this program. So they have, most banks are doing that. So they said once it's 3 months in default, they will automatically convert it. That is also as of the 1st of April.
And we have a question about overdraft facilities, Nirmala. With regards to the auto moratorium, how does it work for overdraft facilities? This is an anonymous attendee has asked. He or she hasn't been able to find any information about this. And the two questions they have is, does it cover overdraft facilities?
As far as I look through the guidelines by Bank Negara, it does not mention on the overdraft specifically, but... I can post that question back to them. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but probably have you checked with the bank actually?
Yeah, so I think this comes back to getting in touch with your bank whether this applies. Because I also haven't read anything about overdraft facilities. I think right now the loan moratorium, generally the ones that were named were mortgage, higher purchase, and then separately they mentioned credit card debt being converted into term loans. For AKPK payments, now related to AKPK. For AKPK payments, can I continue to pay but at a reduced sum? Say my initial monthly payment is 2,000 ringgit, but during this moratorium, I continue with 1,000 ringgit payment. How does that work?
You have to get in touch back with us and the counselor will assess your account and then they will advise you accordingly because don't do automatically because then our payment will show that you're short of payment. So do get in touch with us via email or via our call center as well. They will refer you back to the counselor in charge and we are still working from home actually. So most of the counselors will try to attend to your queries And this one you have to negotiate, talk back to us. And because we have to see the account and to see whether 1,000 is sufficient enough to cover up or not. So we have to reassess back on that.
All right. We have another question from HL Tan. I think we covered this a little earlier, Nirmala, but maybe good to get back into it again. Would it be good to leverage on the savings of the moratorium and put it into FD to earn some interest? So I think earlier we talked about how it's important to take it up only if you have cash flow needs. Now, this is a matter of, is there a leverage advantage if you take that the money from the moratorium and put it into FD to earn interest? Is there, is there a benefit there?
Sorry, Roshan.
Is it advisable? Okay. Should I take the money, the cash flow from the loan moratorium and put it into FD?
If you do not have any kind of emergency saving and you're doing that for that purpose, then it's okay. Because if I were to look at FD rates now, it's about 3-something. The interest that you're paying for your housing loan is higher than that. So you've got to see which one has a higher interest and does it help you save or not. So the reason why you're putting it in FD is for emergency, then it's fine. But if you're looking at it as an investment, then unless this is the zero interest one that you're thinking of doing that, and then you save some and then later you want to full settle those loans, that's okay too, right? But you have to see the interest rates here. What is the return rate on the FD and what's the interest you're paying? So whatever return rate you get should always be higher than the interest or the cost that we are incurring. We are paying for that. So that's important to read.
Yeah, so I think earlier when we addressed it was more of like, if you took the money out because you needed the money, then you put it into, it would be a good idea to put that into FD because it's safer and you get a little bit of return there. But if you don't need that cash flow and you're taking out because you want to earn some kind of additional return, well, that's not going to work if the interest that you're paying is higher than the return on FD, which is, I think, maybe 3% or 3.4% at this point, if the banks are generous at this, and which could get lower if we see future OPR cuts. So these are things to think about. The last question right now we're going to talk about is actually in reference to your charts, the presentation you had just now, Nirmala. We have someone who's asked, Kang Soon has asked whether AKPK can put up the slides on your website to provide some generic illustrations on the common banking products.
Okay, do go up to our Facebook page, our Instagram page, our website. We have an illustration of all this in a simple infographic, actually, both languages, BM and English. We'll be coming up with more infographics. In fact, on the benefits steps, the handouts that's been given out to the public to under the Prihatin package. So we have also like kind of segregated them according to states. We compiled it. So there are quite a number of information that we have there. So this is already in our Facebook page. You can look up on the calculation there. If you want further details, you can look up at Bank Negara's website on their FAQ. It's quite detailed, a few pages, but we have summarized the key points and we have put up in our Facebook. So there is some simple infographics for public to understand.
And that's all for this episode of Ringgit and Sense. That was my conversation with Nirmala Subramaniam of AKPK at BFM's first ever webinar last week. That's it for this episode of Ringgit and Sense, BFM 89.9.
Ringgit and Sense on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.